Tonight, the police body cam and what authorities are now saying after that deadly police shooting of a young black driver outside Minneapolis. Authorities say the officer mistook her handgun for a taser. Police releasing the video 24 hours after the shooting. Dante Wright seen struggling with officers trying to get back into his car. The officer is heard shouting, "I'll tase you," then taser, taser, before firing a single shot from her handgun instead. The police chief today calling the shooting, quote, an accidental discharge. The family tonight outraged, a curfew now in place following protests and clashes with police. And what's now happened to the officer? Just miles away, the trial of former officer Derek Chauvin today in the death of George Floyd. Emotional testimony from George Floyd's brother. The other breaking news unfolding tonight, a deadly high school shooting in Knoxville. At least one person killed, an officer shot as well, and what we're learning as we come on tonight. The coronavirus in the U.S., the alarming rise in new cases. The U.S. now averaging more than 70,000 new cases a day. And tonight, Michigan now pleading with the White House for additional vaccine. The head of the CDC saying that's not the answer, suggesting Michigan should close things down. We are also learning more tonight after a traffic stop, an Army lieutenant in uniform pulled over, officers with guns drawn. The lieutenant, you will hear what he says to the officer, explaining who he was, before then being pepper sprayed behind the wheel. Tonight, the images coming in, the new volcanic eruption in the Caribbean, the explosion of ash and rocks, and now the devastation. And Prince Harry now back in the UK tonight, and how the UK will bid farewell to Prince Philip. What we now know tonight.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening, and it's great to have you with us as we start another week together here. It is a difficult, heavy start to the week. That deadly school shooting, what we're learning right now as we come on. But we're going to begin tonight with the police body cam now released after the death of a young black man, a young father outside Minneapolis. It happened during a traffic stop yesterday afternoon, and tonight authorities now say they believe the female officer, a senior officer on the force, mistook her gun for her taser. The family and the community horrified, and tonight a curfew is now in place. That police body cam video showing Dante Wright outside his car. Then you can see him trying to get back inside the car. He does get back inside. You can hear one officer saying, "I'll tase you." She then says, "Taser, taser," then firing a shot from her handgun instead. Dante Wright driving a few blocks before crashing into another car, paramedics arriving on the scene where he was declared dead. As word spread, protesters gathered, police in riot gear, the protests turning violent. After dark, police lobbing flashbangs, sending people running. Dante Wright's mother tonight saying he called her during the traffic stop, and amid her heartbreak, she's now calling for calm. President Biden today saying the pain in that community is real, it is serious, in his words, calling for peace and calm and for a thorough investigation. Tonight, that officer on administrative leave, and ABC's Stephanie Ramos leads us off from the scene just outside Minneapolis, and a warning that this video is difficult.
Tonight, new body camera video showing the moment a Minnesota officer fatally shot 20-year-old Dante Wright.
I just shot him.
Police say the female officer, a veteran on the force, accidentally discharged a gun instead of a taser, killing the father of a 2-year-old.
It is my belief that the officer had the intention to deploy their taser, but instead shot Mr. Wright with a single bullet. This was an accidental discharge that resulted in the tragic death of Mr. Wright.
The incident beginning just before 2 o'clock Sunday afternoon, when authorities say Wright was pulled over for an expired vehicle registration outside of Minneapolis. Wright's girlfriend also in the car. According to the Brooklyn Center Police Department, the officers ran Wright's name through their system, discovering there was a warrant out for his arrest. Court records show that warrant was issued after Wright failed to appear in court earlier this month, following charges of possessing a firearm without a permit and running away from law enforcement. Police say on Sunday, Wright was trying to get back into the vehicle as officers attempted to apprehend him. The officer warning, "Altasia." Then she pulls a firearm, firing a shot at Wright. The car driving for several blocks before crashing into another vehicle. According to authorities, paramedics tried to save his life, but Wright was pronounced dead at the scene. Tonight, the officer who pulled the trigger is on administrative leave pending an independent investigation.
We cannot afford to make mistakes that lead to the loss of life. And so I do fully support releasing the officer of her duties.
Oh, my God.
Overnight, protests erupting. Tensions already high in the city with the trial of Derek Chauvin just 10 miles away.
Our hearts are aching right now. We are in pain right now. And we recognize that this couldn't have happened at a worse time.
President Biden weighing in.
We do know that the anger, pain, and trauma that exists in the black community in that environment is real. It's serious and it's consequential. We should listen to Dante's mom, who is calling for peace and calm.
Dante's mother, heartbroken.
They don't want all of this. I just want my baby home. That's all I want, is I want him to be home. I don't want everybody out here chanting and screaming and yelling. I just want him home.
And Stephanie Ramos with us tonight from Brooklyn Center outside Minneapolis. And Stephanie, I know the governor tonight announcing a curfew in the Twin Cities metro area. They're bracing for more protests.
Yes, David, and you can already see a large crowd of protesters gathered outside the Brooklyn Center Police Department behind me. That curfew does go into effect tonight from 7 o'clock this evening until 6 o'clock tomorrow morning in multiple cities, including Minneapolis and right here in Brooklyn Center. And police tell us that communities will see an increased presence of the Minnesota National Guard and other law enforcement. David.
All right, Stephanie Ramos leading us off tonight. Stephanie, thank you. Of course, that scene just miles from where George Floyd was killed. And today in Minneapolis, the trial of former officer Derek Chauvin continuing. And there was emotional testimony from George Floyd's brother and from a cardiologist who said George Floyd's death was, quote, absolutely preventable. Here's ABC's Alex Perez again tonight.
Emotional testimony as the prosecution moves to wrap up their part of the case before the defense gets its turn. The jury today hearing from George Floyd's younger brother, Philonis Floyd, describing this photo.
As my mother, she's no longer with us right now, but that's my oldest brother, George. I miss both of them.
In his final moments, George Floyd called out for his mother. On the witness stand today, his brother describing their relationship as one of a kind.
He was a big mama's boy. He would lay up onto her in the fetus position like he was still in a womb. He showed us like how to treat our mom and how to respect our mom. He loved her so dearly.
The prosecution has called 38 witnesses, 10 of them doctors and other medical experts. Today, cardiologist Jonathan Rich knocking down defense claims Floyd's drug use and heart disease led to his death, saying Floyd would have lived if not for the officers.
Do you have an opinion to a reasonable degree of medical certainty as to whether Mr. Floyd's death was preventable?
Yes, I believe that Mr. George Floyd's death was absolutely preventable.
A dozen members of law enforcement have testified against Derek Chauvin. Today, Seth Stoughton, a former officer and an expert on the use of force, summing up what so many others have said.
No reasonable officer would have believed that that was an appropriate, acceptable, or reasonable use of force.
So let's get back to Alex Perez with us again tonight from Minneapolis. And Alex, the defense now expected to begin its part of the case tomorrow.
Yeah, David, and we expect the defense's case will be much shorter than the prosecution's. The judge telling the jury today that they should expect closing arguments on Monday. He also told them to pack a bag because they will be sequestered once deliberations begin. David?
All right, Alex Perez there in Minneapolis. Thank you, Alex. And as I mentioned off the top tonight, there is another scene unfolding at this hour, another deadly school shooting, this time at a high school in Knoxville, Tennessee. Multiple gunshot victims, including a city police officer. The school and surrounding area for a time placed on lockdown. And tonight, federal authorities are on the scene. And here's ABC's Victor Akendo.
Tonight, federal authorities are on the scene in Knoxville investigating a school shooting that left at least one person dead. Police responding to reports of an armed individual inside Austin East Magnet High School in Knoxville just after 3 p.m. Shots were fired as they approached.
We are not sure exactly how many victims there are. We do know that multiple people have been shot, including a KPD officer.
That officer shot at least once and taken to the hospital. The mayor telling our station WATE that the officer is conscious and alert. Authorities evacuating the school and locking down the surrounding area. One male pronounced dead at the scene, another male detained for further investigation. The governor reacting during a scheduled news conference late today.
Pray for that situation and for the families and the victims that might be affected by that in our state.
This school is no stranger to gun violence. Four teenagers who attended Austin East have been shot and killed in just the last few months. This community is shaken tonight. A family member of one of those killed saying they've suffered enough. David.
All right, Victor Akendo tonight. Thank you, Victor. Now to the coronavirus here in the U.S. and an alarming number tonight. We are now back to more than 70,000 new cases a day, numbers we haven't seen in many months. Michigan among the places hardest hit. Tonight, the governor pleading with the White House for additional vaccine. But this evening, the head of the CDC saying sending more vaccine is not the immediate solution, suggesting Michigan should, in her words, close things down. ABC's Eva Pilgrim from Dearborn tonight.
Tonight, an alarming rise in coronavirus cases now rivaling last summer's surge. Deaths now creeping up, too. Doctors in Michigan warning the virus there is burning like a wildfire.
We're still seeing patients in critical condition. We're still seeing patients that are ending up on ventilators.
The crush of COVID patients now forcing several Michigan hospitals to pause elective surgeries. The governor is pleading for more vaccine.
We could get more vaccines in arms.
More resources are on the way to Michigan, but the White House COVID team today pushing back, saying a whack-a-mole approach with the vaccine supply won't work.
The answer is not necessarily to give vaccine. In fact, we know that the vaccine will have a delayed response. The answer to that is to really close things down, to go back to our basics, to go back to where we were last spring, last summer, and to shut things down, to flatten the curve.
In Detroit, 40% of new cases are people between 20 and 40 years old. Health officials tell us there's enough vaccine. The challenge is getting people to take it.
So are people just not wanting to get the vaccine?
I think there's a lot of mistrust in the community. Young people, they feel as though they're invincible, that they're healthy, they're not going to get sick, they're not going to get COVID.
In Colorado, Shane Green is in the hospital on oxygen.
I think the worst was not being able to breathe. It's really lonely in here.
The 40-year-old mother worries for other families as more restrictions are eased.
It's very serious, and I don't think restrictions should be lifted.
Over the weekend, a record number, 4.6 million vaccines administered in one day. But states now facing a new hurdle. The supply of Johnson & Johnson this week plunges 85% after manufacturing delays.
The fact that there will be, you know, millions of doses not getting to people on schedule is going to be a problem for many states.
So let's get to Eva on the ground in Michigan tonight. And Eva, I know this evening there's also a new study out on this dominant strain now here in the U.S., the UK variant that authorities had warned of for months.
That's right, David. The new study out today says that the UK variant is more transmissible, but it's unlikely that it causes more severe disease. It's important to point out, though, that because it's more contagious, it can lead to more cases and, in effect, more hospitalizations and deaths. And that is why doctors are still so very concerned. David?
All right, Eva Pilgrim from Dearborn. Thank you, Eva. We're also learning more tonight after that traffic stop involving an Army lieutenant in uniform pulled over, officers with guns drawn. The lieutenant, you will hear what he says to the officer explaining who he was before they then pepper sprayed him behind the wheel. Here's ABC's Steve Osunsami tonight.
What are you, a specialist, corporal? What are you?
I'm a lieutenant.
Lieutenant, get out of the car!
In this police body camera video that's at the heart of a federal civil rights lawsuit tonight,
get out of the car now. Get out of the car.
You hear the man behind the wheel try to explain that he's an Army lieutenant and that he did nothing wrong.
I'm honestly afraid to get out. Can I
ask you what's going on? Get out.
What's going on?
Lieutenant Caron Nazario is black and Latino and was dressed in his Army fatigues. He was driving home in this brand new black SUV in December when police in Windsor, Virginia say they pulled him over because he didn't have proper license plates. But notice right here are the temporary plates sitting in the back window. The lieutenant admits he didn't stop for about 2 minutes until he got to this gas station where it was well lit. And when he refuses to leave his SUV, one of the officers pulls out the pepper spray.
Get out. Please relax.
Get out of the car right now.
Now. This is not how you treat a vet. I'm actively serving this country, and this is how you're going to treat me? I didn't do anything. Whoa, hold on. Hey. What's going on? Hold on. Watch it.
You see the officer who used the pepper spray now using his knees to beat the lieutenant as they push him into the cement.
Why am I being treated like this? Why?
You're not cooperating. Get on the ground.
He was released with no charges and is suing police. In a statement, Windsor Police announced that Officer Joe Gutierrez has been fired, saying that at the conclusion of this investigation, it was determined that Windsor Police Department policy was not followed.
Tonight, the most senior enlisted soldier in the U.S. Army is supporting the lieutenant, saying that he represented himself and our Army well through his calm, professional response to the situation. The Windsor Police Department outside Richmond says they are putting all of their officers through additional training because of this incident. David.
All right. Thank you, Steve. Steve Osunsami. Overseas tonight and to the preparations now underway for the funeral for Britain's Prince Philip. Tonight, Prince Harry is back in the UK and both princes, William and Harry, with their own tributes. ABC's James Longman from London again this evening.
Tonight, a grandson's homecoming. Harry back in the UK ahead of Prince Philip's funeral, joining the royal family at Windsor for a scaled-down service for just 30 people Saturday due to COVID-19 restrictions. Pregnant Meghan still in LA with Archie. Physicians advised against travel. The Duke of Sussex honouring Philip's life of public service, but in typical form, Harry struck a more informal note, saying, "He was my grandpa, master of the barbecue, legend of banter and cheeky right till the end." It finished with a phrase, "by sea, by land," the motto of the Royal Marines, a nod to Philip's glittering naval career. Prince William also paying tribute today, saying, "I will never take for granted the special memories my children will always have of their great-grandpa." Releasing this photo of the young Prince George with Philip, the father, grandfather and great-grandfather of future kings. The princes will join their father Charles walking behind Philip's casket, recalling the iconic moment the Duke accompanied William and Harry behind their mother Diana over 20 years ago.
The family is united in grief this evening, David. Harry's return could help heal the many rifts that exist. That is certainly something that Britain is hoping for tonight. David.
All right, James. We'll see you Saturday morning, James. We're going to have live coverage of Prince Philip's funeral Saturday morning right here. Deborah Roberts, James Longman joining me with our entire team bidding farewell to Prince Philip Saturday morning, 9:30 a.m. Eastern. We'll see you then.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Now to the emergency playing out on the Caribbean island of St. Vincent tonight. That volcano roaring back to life, a satellite capturing one of its latest explosions several miles into the sky. Ash several inches thick covering the ground, the devastation for miles there. Tens of thousands now evacuated, and several cruise ships still standing by should they need to evacuate the island altogether. To the index of other news and President Biden's nomination for Secretary of the Army making history tonight, the president naming Christine Wormuth. If confirmed, she would become the first woman to hold the position. She served at the Pentagon during the Obama administration. And a passing to note tonight, actor Joseph Saravo has died after a long battle with colon cancer. Fans will remember him as Tony Soprano's father, Johnny Boy. Former co-stars tonight calling him an excellent actor and a dear friend. Joseph Saravo was 66. Finally tonight here, the teacher, the third graders, and the pep talk, America Strong. In Santa Barbara, California, Miss Katie Boozer's third graders at Franklin Elementary, they're back in class, all wearing masks, all socially distant, and before taking a test, just to get used to it all again, a pep talk.
I believe in me.
I believe in me.
Pencils up.
Pencils up.
Miss Boozer says she does it to help build confidence.
I am strong.
I am strong.
I am smart.
I am smart.
I am capable.
I am capable.
And with us tonight.
Hi, David.
That third grade teacher telling us encouraging words do make a difference in this pandemic.
It's really helped teaching during COVID with so much out of our control. And that chant we do, it's great before tests, but it's also great out in the real world as well.
And tonight, that teacher's message to young minds everywhere.
I want all students to know that they are strong, that they are capable, that they are smart, and that they can do hard things. And in fact, they've been doing them all along.
It's true. A pep talk for all the kids and parents out there just trying to get through this school year. I'll see you tomorrow night. Until then, good night.